Praise be to God. I hope you're safe. I hope the Lord has kept you safe and sound. This is a day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for joining us for our study of the Bible here. We study the Bible and we aim to study from the book of Genesis to Revelation. By the grace of God, we have done 22 books of the Bible. And if you've not been able to listen to the podcast we've done straight from the book of Genesis, you can find them on all podcast platforms, that is Podbean, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, name it, you'll find it there. Also, you can download our app, Bible In-Depth Network, and you'll be able to find all the episodes we've done. And I believe the Lord shall speak to you, because there's no limitation to revelation. God speaks His word to whoever shows the need. He reveals His word to whoever shows the need, and He's there for you. If you ask Him to reveal it, indeed He will come out and He will reveal it. Right now we are handling the book of Isaiah, and I want us to continue with chapter 42, where we ended last time. It begins by saying, "Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations." He's speaking here about a servant, yeah, whom God upholds, whom God has chosen, whom God delights in, and the fact that He has put His spirit upon him, and His purpose, as He says here, will be to bring justice to the nations. When you refer to Matthew chapter 12, verse 18 to 21, it says, "Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is pleased. I'll put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment into victory, and his name shall the Gentiles trust." I hope you know who they're talking about here. Jesus himself. Yeah. And even in Philippians chapter 2 verse 7, he says, "But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Being fashioned as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." So clearly the servant they're talking about here is Jesus himself. Yeah, we know that he is the one upon whom the Spirit of the Lord came. Yeah, Matthew chapter 3 verse 16 says, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him." So this servant that begins Isaiah 42 is Jesus himself, the Lord Jesus himself that they're speaking about here. And he says he is the one that has been chosen. And he continues verse 2, says, "He will not cry out or raise his voice, nor make his voice heard in the street." We have seen on occasions when we read the Bible in scripture, when Jesus is telling the disciples, "Don't speak about who I am. Don't come out to speak. Yes, you've seen the greatness I've done, but don't come out. Lay it low." Yeah. He does not raise his name out. He does not go and brag about what he has done. Yeah, God uses us these days, and we get out there and brag and speak of how much greatness and how much anointed we have been for the great things we are doing in the world. No. He says, "Don't go out to make my name known in the street." But even when he did not do that, his name was known. Why? Because the actions speak and testimony is given about you. You know, when you do something, you do it and you let the Lord do the rest of the talking. Even when it comes to giving, we read scripture and we are told that when you give, let not even your other hand know that you've given. But sometimes we give people and we go out and spread the word out through the whole town and city for us, for people to know that we gave. No, you do the act, be silent. The act shall speak for itself. So here we are told he will not go out making noise about his name in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not extinguish. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not be disheartened, all crushed, until he has established justice in the earth. That is Jesus. And the coastlands will wait expectantly for his law. Coastlands here represent the Gentiles. We have all been brought into that family of Christ by grace. And we've been waiting for his justice to come, waiting for his law to come. Here, as it's spoken in Isaiah, that the Gentiles will wait expectantly for his law. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and its offspring, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. Who gives breath to us here on earth? It is the Lord. No single person has the power to keep themselves breathing, to keep alive. It is only God. So I need to honor him. I need to worship him. I need to exalt him, because he's the one who gives breath to me and his spirit for me to even be able to walk. It is God. Now, sometimes we wonder and we ask ourselves, does God really care about me? Does God even have thoughts for me? Does God have plans for me? The fact that you still have a spirit and you walk here, that you can walk, God cares for you, because without him, you cannot breathe. Without him, you cannot walk. And he says, I have called you in righteousness. I will also hold you by the hand and watch over you. And I will appoint you as a covenant to the people and as a light to the nations, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon and those who dwell in darkness from prison. I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not give my glory to another, nor praise to graven images. There is caution that has been given on worshipping graven images, on worshipping that thing that is not the Almighty God. And God is intentional here that you will not bow down to them. You will not worship them. You will only honor the Lord your God. It's important for me to know that it is only God that I serve. It is only God that I praise. It's only God that I worship. I don't bow down to anything else but the Lord himself. I don't bow down to any image that has been created by man, but God himself. Even scenarios in life that have been created, yeah, for you to always look to. You don't. You look to the Lord only. Yeah. And he says, behold, the former things have come to pass. Now I declare new things. Before they spring forth, I proclaim them to you. The old is gone, the new has come. Even in my life, the old is gone, the new has come. Even in my life, I need to know that whatever experience I've gone through, the old is gone, the new has come. Your life, whatever you've gone through, my friend, the disappointments you've gone through in life, the old is gone, the new has come. What is the new? The new thing is filled with blessing. The new thing is filled with joy. The new thing is filled with life. And that's a promise that God gives you, that behold, a new thing has come. New health, new business, new work, new promotions, new places, new blessing, new opportunities. Those are the things that you look to. You don't look to the past. You don't look to the struggles of the past. No. Look, because new things have come. And he says, before they even spring forth, I proclaim them to you. You know, proclamation comes as you wait for that which is coming in reality. Know that good things are coming, even before you've seen them. No, because the proclamation comes forth before they even come down to you. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing his praise from the end of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you islands and those who dwell on them, let the wilderness and its cities lift up their voices, the settlements Akedah inhabits. Let the inhabitants of Selah sing aloud. Let them shout for joy from the tops of the mountains. Let them give glory to the Lord and declare his praise in the coastlands. The Lord will go forth like a warrior. He will arouse his zeal like a man of war. He will utter a shout, yes. He will raise a war cry. He will prevail against his enemies. Of course, we know God always prevails against his enemies. Nobody can match him and his strength and his power. Yeah? He prevails all the time. It says in verse 14, I have kept silent for a long time. I have kept silent for a long time. I have kept still and restrained myself. Now like a woman in labor, I'll groan. I'll both gasp and pant. I'll lay waste the mountains and hills and wither all their vegetation. I'll make the rivers into coastlands and dry up the ponds. I'll lead the blind by the way they do not know. In paths they do not know, I will guide them. I'll make darkness into light before them and rugged places into plains. These are the things I'll do, and I'll not leave them undone. They will be turned back and be utterly put to shame. Who trust in idols? Who say to molten images, you are gods? He says, shame comes to those who don't trust in me. Shame comes to those who equal things of the world to me. And that's key for me to know. That if I praise the things of the world, the wealth of the world, the worldliness, then shame is my portion. If I worship other idols, if I bow down before images and worship them, if I worship any that is not the Almighty God, then shame is coming to you. Hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant? Also deaf as my messenger, who I send, who is so blind as he is, as he that is at peace with me. Also blind as a servant of the Lord, you have seen many things, but you do not observe them. Your ears are open, but none hears. You know you can have your ears on, and words are coming through, but you're not hearing anything. You switched off. That's what he's saying here. The Lord was pleased for his righteousness' sake to make the law great and glorious. But this is a people plundered and despoiled. All of them are trapped in caves. All are hidden away in prisons. They have become a prey with none to deliver them, and a spoil with none to say, give them back. Who among you will give ear to this? Who will give heed and listen hereafter? Who gave Jacob up for spoil and Israel to plunderers? Was it not the Lord, against whom we have sinned, and in whose ways they were not willing to walk, and whose law they did not obey? Now, who gave up these people to captivity? Here it is mentioned, it is the Lord himself. Sometimes, failure to listen to the Lord, failure to walk with the Lord, opens you up to captivity. You're given up to captivity. And sometimes we go out, cry and wail and say, why is this happening to me? How has God forsaken me? But how have you walked with him? Because your own walk can cause you trouble, like it did for the Israelites here. So it says in verse 25, that so he poured out on him the heat of his hunger and the fierceness of battle and set him aflame all around, yet he did not recognize it, and it burned him, but he paid no attention. You go through trouble, but still you don't recognize that you need to change the walk of life, to fashion it to the Lord. You go through pain, but still you don't recognize that you need to walk with the Lord. That's what is being told here. Yeah? And it's key for me to know the times, discern and know, what am I experiencing? Is it a result of my life? You know, sometimes we are not a conscious and not self-aware. And things are happening, yet you are the trouble causer. You are the cause of your own trouble. Verse 43, but now, thus says the Lord, your creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. Now that's the grace of God, that even after he gave them up to trouble and captivity, he still remembers them and redeems them. That's the God we serve. Even after you've fallen, he still gives the grace to pick you out, to come back to his fold. And he says, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. and through the rivers they will not overflow you. You will walk through the fire and you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Now, the message here sometimes is scary, that when you pass through the waters, when you pass through the rivers, when you walk through fire, those are not easy things. That means when you go through trouble, because fire is trouble, waters are trouble. When you go through all that, I will be with you. What are you going through? What trouble are you going through? God is with you. What trouble are you going through in your marriage? God is with you. What trouble are you going through at work? God is with you. What fire are you walking in right now? What sickness is that is bothering you, that has caused all sorts of disbelief, that even people around you know you're finished? God is with you. Because he says, when you walk through the waters, they will not overflow you. That challenge shall not take over your life. It shall not cover your life. God will come out and deliver you because he is with you. It means he is with you in the waters. He is with you in the fire. He is with you in that relationship that is in turmoil. He is with you in that family that is saying you're no longer part of us. He is with you in all the fear that you're going through at your workplace. He is with you when the loans are on your head. He is with you when life seems out of place, when your children have turned into trouble. The Bible says, I will be with you. He says he is with you in that time of trouble, in that time of pain, in whatever mess you're going through right now. He is with you. You will not be scorched. The waters shall not overflow you. No, he is with you. And who is with you? The Lord himself. He is with you. And that's what he tells them, the Holy One of Israel. And says, I have given Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in your place. Yeah, there are those who take your place of punishment. God picks you out and others take the place. That's what he's telling them practically here. Since you are precious in my sight, since you're honored and I love you, I'll give other men in your place and other peoples in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I'll bring your offspring from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by name, my name, and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made. That's the promise God is giving to you in these troubled times. In the troubled state you're in. That's what God is saying. I am with you. So what are you going through today? What is going on? Have your children been taken away from you? God says, I am with you in this. You're going through trouble, but I am with you. The presence of trouble does not imply that God is not there. The presence of turmoil does not imply that you are alone. No. God is with you. And sometimes you go and say, has God left me? No. What you're going through does not mean God has left you. He is with you. And he says in verse 8, bring out the people who are blind, even though they have eyes, and deaf, even though they have ears. All the nations have gathered together so that the people may be assembled. Who among them can declare this and proclaim to us the former things? Let them present their witness that they may be justified. Or let them hear and say, it is true. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Wow, what a statement here. He says, that servant that I've chosen, I am he. Talk of the Trinity here. Before me there was no God formed, and there will be none after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and there is no Savior beside me. It is I who have declared and saved and proclaimed, and there was no strange God among you. So you are my witnesses, declares the Lord. I am God. Even from eternity, I am He, and there is none who can deliver out of my hand. I act, and who can reverse it? When God does something, no one can change it. Clear message here. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon, and I will bring them all down as fugitives, even the Chaldeans into the ships in which they rejoice. I am the Lord, the Holy One. He's practically saying, I'll fight your battles, I'll fight your enemies, I'll fight the Babylonians on your behalf. The Creator of Israel, your King, thus says the Lord, who makes a way through the sea and a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the mighty man. They will lie down together and not rise again. They have been quenched and extinguished like a wick. Do not call to mind the former things or ponder the things of the past. Behold, I'll do something new. Now it will spring forth. You will not be aware of it. I'll make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. He's telling them, you've gone through captivity and that time will pass. Do not even remember that, because I'll bring something new, a new page in your life. That's what we've been talking about here, that God will bring a new page in your life, something new for you. The beasts of the field will glorify me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I have given waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself. I will declare my praise. Yet you have not called on me, O Jacob, but you have not become weary. But you have become weary of me, O Israel. You have not brought to me the sheep of your burnt offerings, nor have you honored me with your sacrifices. I have not burdened you with offerings, nor wearied you with incense. You have bought me not sweet cane with money, nor have you filled me with the fat of your sacrifices. Rather, you have burdened me with your sins. You have wearied me with your iniquities. I am the one who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us argue our case together. State your cause, that you may be proved right. You first forefather sinned, and your spokesmen have transgressed against me. So I will pollute the princes of the sanctuary. I will consign Jacob to the ban, and Israel to refinement. He's saying, you've wronged me. You don't even give the offering. You've forsaken me, but I'm still there with you. I forgive your iniquities. That is the grace of God that he shows here and extends, and even goes ahead to tell them once again that put me to remembrance. Let's add your case together. What is your cause? Tell me that you may be proved right. That is the grace of God upon our lives, that even after everything we've done, he still gives you room to sit and put your case. You're the guilty one, but you can sit on the table and put your case, because your God is gracious enough. We shall end with chapter 44. It says, but now listen, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus says the Lord, who made you and formed you from the womb, who will help you. Do not fear, O Jacob, my servant, and you, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen, for I will pour out water on the thirsty land, and streams on the dry ground. I'll pour out my spirit on your offspring, and my blessing on your descendants. They'll spring up among the grass like poplars by streams of water. This one will say, I am the Lord's, and that one will call on his name, call on the name of Jacob, and another will write on his hand, belonging to the Lord. I will name Israel's name with honor. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first and I am the last, and there is no God beside me. Who is like me? How many times have we seen this or read this? There is no equal to God. He's the first and the last. There is nobody like him. Yeah? Let him proclaim and declare it. Yes, let him recount it to me in order. From the time that I established the ancient nation, and let them declare to them the things that are coming and the events that are going to take place. Do not tremble and do not be afraid. Have I not long since announced it to you and declared to you, and you are my witnesses, is there any God beside me? Or is there any other rock? I know of none. There is only one God. There is only one hope. There is only one place that I put my trust and hope and faith, and that is in the Lord. Yeah? And he goes on and says, those who fashion a graven image, and all of them futile, and their precious things are of no profit, even their own witnesses fail to see or know, so that they will be put to shame. Who has fashioned a god or cast an idol to no profit? Behold, all his companions will be put to shame, for the craftsmen themselves are mere men. They come and mold the images. Then they tell you worship them. But they are nothing. Even those who have made them are mere men. Let them all assemble themselves, he says. Let them stand up. Let them tremble. Let them together be put to shame. The man shapes iron into a cutting tool and does his work over the coals, fashioning it with hammers and working it with his strong arm. He also gets hungry and his strength fails. He drinks no water and becomes weary. Another shapes wood. Yeah? He extends a measuring line. He outlines it with red chalk. He works it with planes and outlines it with a compass and makes it like a form of a man, like the beauty of a man, so that it may sit in a house. Surely he cuts cedars for himself and takes a cypress or an oak and raises it for himself among the trees of the forest. He plants a fir and the rain makes it grow. Then it becomes something for a man to burn. So he takes one of them and warms himself. He also makes a fire to bake bread. He also makes a god and worships it. He makes it a graven image and falls before it. Half of it he burns in the fire. Over this half he eats meat as he roasts a roast and is satisfied. He also warms himself and says, aha, I am warm. I have seen the fire. But the rest of it he makes it into a god, his graven image. He falls down before it and worships. He also prays to it and says, deliver me, for you are my God. They do not know, nor do they understand, for he has smeared over their eyes so that they cannot see, and their hearts so that they cannot comprehend. No one recalls, nor is there knowledge or understanding to say, I have burnt half of it in the fire, and also have baked bread over its coals. I roast meat and eat it. Then I make the rest of it into an abomination. I fall down before a block of wood. He feeds on ashes. A deceived heart has turned him aside. He cannot deliver himself, nor say, is there not a lie in my right hand? He's talking about people here forming images and worshipping them. They could be by metalworks or woodworks here. He's saying you even, from the tree you cut to make the idol, you've used some to make something for yourself to eat, even to warm yourself. And it is that same material that you're bowing down to worship. How we can get so lost that we get the things of the world and give them the glory that they do not even deserve and worship them. And we are not even looking at it as a lie. That's what he's trying to bring out here for them. And says, remember these things, O Jacob and Israel. For you are my servant, I formed you, you are my servant, O Israel. You will not be forgotten by me. I have wiped out your transgression like a thick cloud, and your sins like a heavy mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. That's the message God gives you today. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. You sinned against me. You forsook me, but my grace has been extended to you. So return to me, for I have redeemed you. You've walked in the world. You've forgotten the Lord. But he says, return to me, for I have redeemed you. Shout for joy, O heavens, for the Lord has done it. Shout joyfully, you lower parts of the earth. Break forth into a shout of joy, you mountains, O forests and every tree in it, for the Lord has redeemed Jacob, and in Israel he shows forth his glory. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, and the one who formed you from the womb. I am the Lord. I'm the maker of all things, stretching out the heavens by myself and spreading out the earth all alone, causing the omens of boasters to fail, making fools out of diviners. causing wise men to draw back and turning their knowledge into foolishness, confirming the word of his servant and performing the purpose of his messengers. It is I who says of Jerusalem, she shall be inhabited, and of the cities of Judah, they shall be built. I will raise up her ruins again. It is I who says to the depths of the sea, be dried up, and I will make your rivers dry. It is I who says to Cyrus, he's my shepherd, and he will perform all my desires. And he declares of Jerusalem, she will be built. And of the temple, your foundation will be laid.